You know, there are some of you here that keep struggling over and over and over. And in part, the reason that you struggle is that in your mind, you've made a decision, but you haven't chosen the right group of friends to hang out with.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick. So excited to be here with you today. I'm in the studio with Pastor Mark Job, the author and senior pastor at New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, we're in part two, the second half of a message called The Power of Resolve in the book of Daniel, chapter one, in a series called Allegiance. And here we see this young, probably teenage boy in a pagan society, far from home, under another rule, being tempted and tested to leave his allegiance to the Lord. And yet he has this secret thing, this resolve. And it causes him to not only live differently, but he has this incredible impact on his group of friends. It's amazing.
He really does. And this is actually an astonishing story about a kid, a teenager, that could really go wrong, really go bad. And I think we can all relate to Daniel. We all live in a society that, by and large, tends to be pagan, doesn't understand our Christian values, and is always trying to sort of mold us to be like everybody else. But I'm going to tell you something. Unless you resolve in advance that I'm a follower of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and I will not be like the rest of the world, then you will accommodate you to the majority culture. I think we need some young people today that are making resolve at 15, 16, 17, 18 years old and saying, I will not defile myself. And we see that in Daniel. He went on to have an incredible impact on his friends and ultimately on an entire nation because of a decision he made not to defile himself.
Yeah, and a lot of decisions followed that initial decision. But I think you're so right. It's too late when you get in the back seat with your girlfriend to decide that you're going to be sexually pure.
Yeah.
You've got to make some choices ahead of time. Thank you for that, Pastor Mark. We're in Daniel chapter 1. This is the second half of The Power of Resolve in the Allegiance series. Let's get into the message.
I have a proposition for you. I would like for us not to have to eat the meat and the wine, but we'll eat the vegetables and the food because it would violate our conscience if we had to eat the meat. Now, he was taking a big risk. He was embracing a test. He was basically saying, I've drawn a line in the sand that I'm not willing to cross. And if there is a consequence to it, I will take the consequence. But I have resolved that I will not defile myself before God. Now, this is a powerful statement for a young man to take. And it tells us in verse 10, but the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord the king who's assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would have my head because of you. In other words, what the chief was saying is, hey, normally when you eat meat, you get a little beefier, you look better. And if I don't feed you what everybody else is eating, then you're going to look skinny and not as healthy as the other people. And I'm going to lose my job or my life because of this. So this was a dilemma. There was a test that was happening. But Daniel had decided, I'm not going to cross this line. I'm not going to defile myself. If my conscience is against it, I will not do it, no matter what the cost will be. I will not do it. You see, unless you make a resolve, I am convinced that unless you decide in advance what you're going to do, that what happens in the moment of pressure, unless you make a strong resolve, chances are that under pressure, you're going to cave into the pressure unless there's a clear drawn line. Are you tracking with me? A young girl goes off to college. She's 18 years old, coming from a faith background, Christian background. Meets a guy that's a clean-cut, nice young college kid. She thinks, I can bring him to mom. Mom will probably like him. He likes the fact that she's a Christian. He likes the fact that she goes to church and that has a strong faith. But they get into the relationship, and then suddenly he starts to say, hey, we're 3-4 months into this relationship. You know, I don't feel like I'm getting the kind of love that I want or need from you to give because we're 3 or 4 months into it. I mean, look, everybody else on campus, 3 or 4 months into the dating relationship, they're already having sex together, but you're withholding from me. And, you know, I'm starting to feel a little bit left out, like you don't love me, like what's going on. And so in the middle of one of these intense, passionate kisses in a car late at night, he starts to float his hands to places that he shouldn't float his hands and get a little bit more aggressive. And there is a decision that she has to make in the heat of the moment. And the decision has to be, will I cross this line or not? And can I tell you something? Listen, unless that line is clearly resolved in advance, if you don't have a clear decision about what you're going to do, if you don't have a clear line in your mind, if you haven't clearly stated that line, then in the heat of passion, in the moment of pressure, when you're not thinking straight, where he's saying, hey, we love each other, what's wrong with this? Then I can guarantee you, you will cross that line unless you determine in advance what that line is. Unless you resolve in your mind in advance, make a strong decision in advance, then you will not maintain sexual standards or purity in your life. You will cross those lines guaranteed unless you've made a strong resolve in your mind. When that young woman goes off to college and in her mind she says, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I belong to God. I have an allegiance to God above anything. If there's a boyfriend that's worth dating, then he's gonna have to commit to waiting until he puts a ring on my finger, and then I will give myself fully to him. But I will not cross the line until then. That's called a resolve. That's called, I've made a decision in advance. It's a resolution. It's a determination. Daniel had determined in advance, I will resolve not to defile myself. And so when the testing time came, Daniel knew where the line was, and he said, I will not cross that line because I've determined in advance. So not only does resolve prepare you to resist enculturation, resolve empowers you to overcome testing, and number 3, resolve gives you the courage to influence others. Verse 11 says, Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Verse 12, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. What I want you to notice about these verses is that when Daniel was willing to stand alone, he also attracted others that were willing to stand with him. Do you realize that there's a lot of people that are afraid to take a stand? In fact, my gut feeling is that some of you think that you're the only Christian at your job, but maybe you're not. Maybe there's a whole bunch of undercover Christians at your job. And you think, oh Lord, there's 100, 200, 300, 400 people working at my job. I'm the only Christian here. How do you know? I've never seen anybody read their Bible. I've never seen anybody pray. No one talks about Jesus. Everybody just talks about how they partied the weekend before. I'm the only one. And then you decide, I'm going to come out of the closet spiritually. I'm not going to hide anymore the fact that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And you pull out your Bible and lunch break, you're reading your Bible and having your devotional. You decide that people see you bow your head before lunch and pray. You're reading your scripture, and suddenly someone comes up to you at your job and kind of eases over to you and says, what are you doing? I'm reading my Bible. They say, I'm a Christian too. and you look at them shocked because you've never seen a Christian behavior out of them because they've participated in everything, laughed at everything, done what everything everybody else did. But now they see that you're a Christian, and so they have the boldness to come out of their closet a little bit and say, hey, I'm a Christian too. You see, some people are looking for someone that believes strongly enough that they're willing to stand for their convictions and stand for their faith. We're looking for someone that's not ashamed of being a follower of Jesus. Someone that knows who their allegiance is to. And they may whisper over to you and say, you know what, people are calling you names. And you say, like what? Like Jesus freak, Bible thumper, Mother Teresa the Second. I mean, they have all kinds of names. You're a sect, a cult, you're a fanatic, you're a freak. Do you know they're calling you that? But when you say, you know what, that's okay because my allegiance is to someone greater, someone higher, someone bigger. I am a follower of Jesus the Christ. What it does is it causes the shy, the timid, the backslidden, the half-hearted that wish they had the boldness, then suddenly they come out and they say, you know what? I'm a Christian too. You've encouraged me to stand up for my faith. You've challenged me. I've been coming to this job for years. No one even knows I'm a Christian. I go to church on Sunday morning, but I've been intimidated, enculturated. I've been subdued, shut up by the world around me, by the culture. I've been afraid to really stand for what I believe. I want you to notice that it tells us in this passage that suddenly he says, please test your servants and give us nothing but vegetables. In other words, it went from Daniel alone to now it's Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want you to remember, they're probably 15, 16 years old at the time, and suddenly you have four teenagers that believe so deeply in their faith that they are standing up to the greatest government that existed at the time with the courage of young people saying, it doesn't matter. We have a line. We will not defile ourselves. I don't know about you, but that inspires me. I don't know about you, but it makes me want to say, oh God, may we have teenagers in this generation that step up in their high schools and say, I will not be defiled. I know whom I believe. I know what I stand for. I will take a stand for what I believe in. Listen, it takes a lot of guts, especially in junior high and high school and in college, to stand on your own, to have some convictions and to draw a line.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled The Power of Resolve, which is from our brand new series called Allegiance, Kingdom Living in a Foreign Land. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. Our message, The Power of Resolve.
1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 13 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You know, there are some of you here that keep struggling over and over and over. And in part, the reason that you struggle is that in your mind, you've made a decision, but you haven't chosen the right group of friends to hang out with. You know, the Bible tells us that bad company corrupts good morals. In other words, the Bible makes clear to us that the people that you hang out with the most will typically have the greatest influence on you. So you could say, well, I have these convictions, but if everybody around you has other convictions, and if everybody around you is doing certain things, they basically normalize sin, and after a while, you start feeling like it's normal and everybody else does it. Why am I such a weirdo that doesn't do it? Because it looks like it's okay and it's the normal thing to do and everybody does it. Why am I not doing it? You see, that's what happens when you surround yourself with people that have that don't have the same kind of values or convictions that you have. I remember years ago, I was working with a young man who had a long history of addiction. For years, he had gotten high and drunk, and he was kind of known in the neighborhood to be that. And he came to Christ, and he had a radical conversion, and he left that lifestyle behind. And for about a year and a half, he did great. People couldn't believe it, that he was walking in sobriety and giving all the honor and glory to Christ. And in the beginning, he hung out with a new set of friends, believers that encouraged him. But then he thought to himself, well, I have a lot of friends that don't know Christ, and so I'm going to hang out with them. And so he started hanging out with them in their neighborhood at their bars on their terms. And to begin with, he said, well, I know everybody's going to drink. I'm just going to have a 7-Up because I don't want to open the doors. And then one day I got a phone call. I could tell it was my friend on the other line. His speech was slurred, and his conversation was incongruent. I said, where are you? And he managed to sputter out the address of the place that he was at, and so I drove over there, and I picked him up. He had the signs of someone that was high. His eyes were red. His speech was blurred, and he just said, I just can't believe I did this. I said, bro, you were doing so good for such a long time. He said, I thought I could be strong enough. I thought I could resist. I hung out with them, and I just thought, well, I'll just take one drink. But to him, being an alcoholic, one drink opened up the doors. And next thing, he was back to the same place, his friends laughing with him and Adam. Oh, the Christian, you were just talking to us about God. Now look at where you're at. And later on, he told me, I've realized that I can't go back to the same places, hang out with the same people, do the same things, and be strong enough to resist it. I just can't do it right now. Listen, some of you are struggling big time because you've come to God, you've made a decision to follow Christ, but one of the areas that keeps you back right now is that you still hang out at the same old places with the same old friends, and you fall into the same old habits that used to plague your life. Sometimes there has to be a change of circles. Sometimes you have to pull away. You say, well, Pastor, I've known them since they were kids. We grew up together. I know that, but you have to understand that sometimes you have to pull away until you're strong enough. You have to pull away until your convictions are deeply rooted. You have to pull away until you can stand on your own 2 feet and influence others instead of others influencing you. How many of you know what I'm talking about here? You see, resolve gives you the courage to influence others. I'm wondering if there's a high school student listening to me here that you think that you're the only Christian at your high school, that you're the only one that's not partying, only one that's not dabbling into sexual stuff, only one that believes in God. I'm just kind of wondering if you think that you're the only one there. What would happen if you truly took a stand in your high school? What would happen if people started knowing that you're a follower of Jesus? What would happen if you opened up a Bible study? What would happen if people started to know that, yeah, you do follow God? I'm wondering if other people would come out of the woodwork, other young people that are interested in God and seeking God. I'm wondering if they also would say, wow, I didn't know that there were other people that were interested. I'm wondering what would happen at your high school if you decided to take a stand for Jesus Christ. Number four, and lastly, not only does resolve prepare you to resist, it empowers you to overcome. It gives you courage to influence. Lastly, it opens the door of spiritual opportunity and favor. All you have to read is the latter part of Daniel chapter 1. And you realize that suddenly, after 10 days of just eating vegetables and not eating meat, that they compared Daniel and his friends with the others, and Daniel and his friends were actually healthier and stronger. Some of you have gone on your diets before, and you know that you didn't look healthier and stronger. You see, it was the favor of God on Daniel, giving him strength and power. And it says, and these four young men God gave knowledge and understanding and all kinds of literature and learning. They could understand visions and dreams, all kinds of them. And in the end, finally, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel were brought before the king, the Bible says that their knowledge was 10 times greater than anybody else around them, and that God showed them favor and opened up doors to them. Can I tell you this? Listen, when you make a resolve, no matter how difficult it is, but when you make a resolve to follow God and to live for God in a difficult situation, the favor of God always follows obedience. Some of us have no opportunity because we've never made a resolve. Some of us have little opportunity to influence people because we're just like everybody else is around us. Some of us have never learned the power of making a decision in advance. I believe that that God gives us favor when we make decisions that are strong and we hold to those decisions regardless of the peer pressure around us. God showed Daniel favor. God opened doors. And what I love about this story is not only did they keep their resolve, but God kept prospering them and giving them promotions and leading them to higher places, even though they weren't adapting to the culture around them. They stood for God, and God gave them opportunities and favor to influence a lot of the other people. I'm wondering, is some of our witness and our influence is minimal because our resolve hasn't been strong? I'm wondering what would happen to some of your friends and family members if you really decided, I will not defile myself, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to draw lines in the sand. I'm not violating my convictions before God. There's a respect that we have for people that live according to their convictions. One of the greatest challenges that people hurl against the church is the hypocrisy of the church at times, saying one thing but not really living it out. But I'm wondering if a whole bunch of people decided, I'm making a resolve not to defile myself in the culture that I live in, what would happen? How would it influence the people that are around us? I believe that some of us in this place today need to make a clear decision. I will not defile myself in this area. I don't know what your pressure point is. Maybe your pressure point today has to do with lying and giving in. Maybe your pressure point is in the area of sexuality, giving in, not holding a standard. Maybe your pressure point's in the area of dishonesty because everybody around you is being dishonest. I don't know what your pressure point is, but I believe that we all are pressured in one way or another, and you need to determine before God, what is the resolution that I'm making before God? Not to defile myself. Not to defile myself before God. And I wonder what God would do with some people that would stand up and say, no matter what my culture's doing, no matter what my neighbors are doing, my coworkers are doing, other students are doing, I know who my allegiance is to. My allegiance is greater than the peer pressure. I will stand even though it costs me some friends, even though it costs me some popularity, even though I may have to pay a price for it. I will stand for God no matter what the cost.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in the second half of his message called The Power of Resolve, which is from his brand new series called Allegiance, Kingdom Living in a Foreign Land. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you with your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message or the entire series, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We'd love to invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago and the surrounding areas. You can check out all of our locations and the times that we meet at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you, and please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing to you, and we ask that you join us again on the next Straight Talk. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your listenership. On behalf of Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself, have a great night, and God bless.